This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1. Let's go!
Okay, welcome to episode 240 of Tech Webcast, podcast recorded on 25th of May, 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday, and we broadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, myself, Jacob, and Steve.
And that is a fantastic job, Jacob Jones. I couldn't said it, haven't said it better than myself than you. How are you?
Thank you. Welcome. All right.
You were actually filling in for Andrew today.
Yes, I am.
So how are you, Andrew? Are you good?
I am not good right now, mate.
Andrew isn't here.
Okay, Steve, what's up?
Oh, geez, nothing much. Well, I'm wearing my Navy uniform for Memorial Day weekend, so I usually wear it twice a year during those times.
Nice.
For the men and women died in the uniform and all that. So
cool. Well done, good on you. Jody, how are you?
Hey, I'm well, Brad. How are you?
I'm fantastic. We got Paul on today. Paul Terry Walhouse. He's from Texas. Is that correct, Paul?
Yeah, I'm in here in Austin, Texas, Google Fiber capital of the world.
Yes, that's what I was actually. You just reminded me. That's what I actually wanted to speak to you about today. That's why I wanted you on because you are actually getting it. Is that correct?
Yeah, we just can't get over ourselves here in Austin, Texas because we're such hot stuff now.
Definitely.
Google picked us for one of the two cities in North America for a fiber rollout.
Wicked. Have you got it yet?
Oh, no. It'll be about a year.
Oh, okay. Whoops.
And not everybody will get it all at once.
Okay. All right. But that's good.
It's kind of exciting.
I think they should have picked Corpus Christi. That's where I live. So Corpus Christi, Texas. But
I think
that's
they should
story.
Have picked Melbourne, Australia first.
Yeah.
Isn't your NBN going to be doing that?
Yes, they are. NBN is rolling out here in Australia, yes. Yep, it's going to be pretty good. I haven't got it yet, but we'll have it soon, hopefully. Jody, what's your view on the Google Fiber?
I think they should have brought it to the Philadelphia Metro first.
Okay.
No, I think it's going to be dynamite. I can't wait to hear all about how awesome it is and how envious the rest of us will be.
Yep, definitely. And, Paul, you went to that festival. I can't remember the name of it. It was on there. What was it called? Over there, what's it
well, we just well, we just had – well, there's South by Southwest, that's kind of old news now. The new news is we just had a week of RISE, R-I-S-E, which is Entrepreneur Week. And
oh, nice.
We had Obama come to town, and we had like 100 sessions a day with entrepreneurs and startups.
Wow.
The news out of Austin is, and this is coming from Josh Baer, who started the Capital Factory downtown, is that if you're in Austin, Texas, and you've got a decent idea that'll, you know, for a startup, any kind of idea that will work, and you've got a good plan, you will get funded.
Andrew
There's
Cunningham.
Nobody that doesn't get funded in this town anymore. For startup ideas. It's just like the most happening startup town around these days.
Andrew Cunningham.
Obama was here about 2 weeks ago, and he toured the Capital Factory, and Josh said the guy listened to like, you know, half a dozen people make their pitches, you know. You know, startups are all about pitches, right? So then Obama listened to all these pitches, and then Josh said they went off to another part of town, and some guy asked Obama, he said, well, what was going on over there? And he said Obama explained it so much better than the people explained it to him. He explained it to these other people.
Good stuff.
But it was a fantastic week. We had some terrific sessions, and we had a lot of pitch sessions where people got up and talked about their startups.
Good stuff.
You know, gave their pitches.
Yep, definitely, definitely. Now, Andrew Cunningham, if you are listening to that to this podcast when it's uploaded, that is for you. That's where you should have been with Zafo. I think he would have backed that project. But have you checked out Zafo yet, Paul?
What's that?
Zafo, Z-A-R-F-O, Zafo.com. It's a new video.
No, I haven't checked that out. No,
check it out. Andrew, he's on this podcast each week. He's the owner of that site and stuff, and you should check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
All right, Jody, got some news today, haven't we? Some news, good news?
We always have news.
We do.
I'm going to start off with like a kind of interesting side note. Has to do with, I don't know if you guys heard about this over in Australia, but there was a bridge that collapsed in Washington, unfortunately, kind of reminiscent of another bridge collapse a couple of years ago. And amazingly, Google has already removed it from the Google Maps, which is pretty phenomenal response. So I don't know if you saw any of that, but
I may have or may not have. I'm not sure. Jacob, do you have a view on that story?
Yes, I saw the there's a video on it on the website. Someone caught it from the security camera.
Wow.
Yeah, Dan McDermott put that up there.
That's a pretty good response time, actually.
Yeah. I think it's phenomenal response time.
It is, yeah. Unbelievable.
You know, I mean, you think about how technology has changed. I can't imagine, you know, all these times that you're driving around. I have one of those integrated GPSs in my car, mm-hmm. and you wind up somewhere, and the streets are completely different.
Yeah.
And you pay a premium for that, and here's basically a free program, and it's far better than these paid programs that, you know, you pay thousands to have integrated in your vehicle. So
definitely. Steve, do you have a view on that story?
Well, of course, with Google Maps and satellite photos, it does seem to take them a long time. Of course, because I used to have a boat like a year ago, and finally it took them like a year or two, the boat for it to go away. It's not showing.
Wow.
Showing in the satellite photo anymore.
Did you get the new maps, Steve or Jody? I got it yesterday, the new maps. Have you got them yet? The new maps?
Oh, have a new version? Which one are you talking about?
The new Google Maps at I.O. they announced.
On the website.
On the website.
On that GoogleMaps.com thingy.
Yeah. Have you got it, Jody?
You know what? I've been getting so many updates pushed out, I just don't keep track of them.
No, this is not me. No, this is on the computer.
Then I haven't, because I haven't uploaded anything on the computer.
No, all you have to do is check your email.
Is it a standalone app that you...
No. You got to go to the website and sign up for it, and it's a beta thing.
Oh, okay. Well, is it like a web app, or is it standalone?
It's a website. Just new Google Maps that have been added.
Oh, okay. Just, okay.
Yeah. Paul, do you have a view on that story at all, mate? What Jody just spoke about?
Well, I did see. No, I didn't see that, but I did. They have been like showing the Google Maps of Oklahoma. You know, and the big tornado that blew through here there last week, and on CNN and the other networks, they've been doing like a thing that swipes across the map, and you see the before and after, which is pretty astonishing. There's a city there, and then they swipe over it, and it's not there anymore. It's just a rubble.
Wow, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, they did a lot of that here in New Jersey with Sandy. Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
Actually,
the problem with Google Maps is that nobody's safe anymore. If you've got property and you add a little building on, the property tax assessors, they use Google Maps to check up on everyone, so no one's safe anymore.
Mm, Yeah, definitely.
You can't build anything without knowing about it.
Hey,
the way it updates so quickly now.
Definitely. Are you still making them? Are you still building them house containers?
Yeah, we've got some containers and, you know, cargo containers that we're converting into housing.
Wow.
And some vintage Airstreams. We're developing 15 acres.
Unbelievable. All right. Cool.
The interesting project that we did last week was a friend of mine came to visit me from Hot Springs, Bob Nagy. And you can see this on my Google Plus page, but we found a guy that had no electricity, no water, no utilities of any kind. He had a house, but he didn't have any power or water or any kind of services. So as a kind of a we went around and got donations, and he brought up the solar cells and the batteries. We went and got six batteries at Walmart, you know, big 12-volt batteries. We built like a battery bank, and then we put two solar cells on his roof, and then we set the guy up with a little flat screen TV.
Nice.
And a fan and a couple of lights, and even though he can't afford electricity, now he's got his own little entertainment center. He's got a way to keep cool, and we gave him a hard drive with about 1,000 movies on it. So this guy John, who previously didn't have anything, now at least he has electricity and a little entertainment center.
It's kind of
we call it the Commando Solar Project.
Nice.
You can see the video I did on my Google Plus stream. If you look at my stream, you'll see it.
All right, we'll check it out. Jody, any other news? You got some more news there?
Oh, yes. Yep. There's a lot of conjecture about what's going on with Hulu. Hulu's future may be uncertain, but the company doesn't seem to have any shortage of potential suitors. The Los Angeles Times reported that the first round of bids from potential purchasers were due this week, with Guggenheim Digital Media, a group led by former interim Yahoo CEO Ross Levinson, putting in a bid alongside the $500 million offered by former News Corp head Peter Chernin. According to Reuters, two other parties also placed bids, that was DirecTV and Time Warner. But then word broke earlier this year that Disney and News Corp were considering selling Hulu. At the time, the two companies were divided on what the future of Hulu should be. Disney wanted to pursue an ad-supported business model. News Corp favored a subscription service. Comcast is the third partner in Hulu, but they're unable to participate in such discussions due to the regulatory restrictions that were put in place when they acquired NBC Universal. And it's reported that Yahoo is interested in acquiring Hulu as well. And it's not clear at this time how the different bids stack up against one another or if Hulu has a preference for one particular company. So I'm curious, guys, what do you think? You think Hulu's going to be a Yahoo property?
I'm not sure.
No. No. I think Time Warner's going to gobble them up. I mean, Time Warner stands to gain the most, I think, because they've got the biggest already established TV network. And if they could use that as their interface, it'd be pretty awesome to because they've got a pretty crummy interface right now.
Yeah. Jacob, what's your view on that?
I would say DirecTV.
DirecTV will buy it?
Yeah, because that's my guess. Estimation.
Okay. All right, what about you, Jody? Who will buy it? You?
I really don't know. I honestly, I'm not that invested personally in Hulu. It doesn't really faze me. I like Netflix, but I haven't had any, you know, whole lot of experience with Hulu.
Yeah, same. I haven't either. All right.
Well, the Hulu interface blows away Time Warner's interface, which is pretty sucky, you know. So, and Time Warner's got such a big network out there, you know, that would be, I think they would stand to gain the most by acquiring Hulu.
All right, Steve, what's your view on that?
Well, I've got Time Warner. They have did some little changes to the interface. It still needs some improvement. I don't think we should discount Yahoo just yet because they've been acquiring. They just acquired Flickr. Of course, it goes to the highest bidder if they do sell this company. Another thing I noticed from the news story, or of course Disney said ad-supported, they're going for the ad-supported business, and I guess News Corp favored a subscription service, but Hulu kind of currently has both, don't they? You know, they have some free content, yeah, which is ad-supported, and Google Plus subscription service.
You say, what did you say, Google Plus?
Yeah, Google Plus is like their subscription service, and then the regular Hulu, unless it's changed since I haven't looked at them for quite a while.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Google Plus was part of Hulu.
Oh, are they separate? I thought they were one entity.
Jacob, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Got Hulu and then Hulu Plus. I thought it was the same.
Oh, okay. I think it's like Google Plus, but I must have heard you wrong. Jody, what else has been happening?
Well, you know, I think everything is eclipsed by a really exciting event that's taking place in the next couple of days. For those of you who are followers of the cult classic Arrested Development, mm-hmm. You may not have missed the announcement that in the next couple of days that Netflix is coming out with the final season premiere of the TV cult classic, which is pretty exciting. I mean, in fact, we had Arrested Development on in the background just before the show. We're pretty involved with it over here. But evidently, if you had to market this final premiere season of a TV cult classic that you know wouldn't appear on television, how would you do it? With billboards, print ads, primetime slots on TV? Probably not. You'd have to buckle down and get creative to reach such a niche digital market. And that's exactly what Arrested Development did. After Netflix brought the show back to life for a final season that's only going to be available through the Netflix streaming service, the show launched one of the most creative, integrated inbound marketing campaigns we've ever seen, using content across multiple channels to target the show's core viewer demographic. Young, sarcastic internet junkies. I didn't know that's me, but who loves smart humor. The campaign is not only hilarious and brilliantly executed, it also focuses on one of the main components of inbound marketing, and that's content. This content, both online and offline, was aligned perfectly with the show's target audience. It doesn't interrupt people, it delights them. The campaign is clever, creative, each piece pulling you further down the funnel to the final point of conversion, which is watching Arrested Development on May 26th. So I know I've seen some of the like teaser type advertising. I did think it was very cleverly done. I did not feel it was interruptive. I thought it was entertaining. And I'm just curious, number one, if you've seen any of the teaser stuff that's been going on. And number two, if you're going to be watching.
Maybe I probably will watch it, but I haven't really seen the show yet.
Oh my gosh, Brad, you've got to watch it.
Okay, I will.
What was the show they did with Kevin Spacey? What was the name of that?
House of Cards.
Yeah, that thing was riveting. We watched the whole thing from beginning to end. It was like a marathon. Are they going to do that with the rest of development? Have it like a release the whole thing at once, or just one episode at a time?
You know, my impression is that they are going to release it all at the same time, but I could be wrong. But that was my understanding.
Hmm. I think they should just put one episode out each week. I think.
Well, I really like the way they released House of Cards because you never can seem to catch all the episodes, and that was so good, it's so well done
that we just watched all it
beginning
them,
to end.
Yeah, huh? I blew through all of them. I watched all of them, and then I kind of got to I think there were 12. In the series, and then I was kind of like, okay, now what? I mean, when did they come out with the next group?
Yeah, I think they're going to probably do the same thing. Arrested Development, pretty good show. So it might be worth blowing through those, too, if they release them all at once.
You know, one of the ads that they had, you'll get a kick out of this if you're an Arrested Development junkie, but they had a pair of navy blue cutoffs. You know, or blue jean cutoffs, and the slogan on the top says "Never Say Never." So, I mean, I think they were really clever. You know, the Never Nudes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys. A lot of people are shaking their heads or scratching them. So but anyway, thought all that right. was all that right. was kind of
fun. Jacob, will you be watching the show?
No.
Why not?
I already tried watching it a while back when it first came on.
All right. What about you, Steve?
Oh, I don't have Netflix anymore.
Oh, really?
So.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Jody, what else has been happening in the news?
Oh, well, interesting. In early February, Mailbox hit the App Store and impressed millions with its refreshing take on email visualization and triage. An epic waitlist added fuel to the fire, since most people had to wait weeks to gain access to the cloud-powered email app. Mailbox impact was so forceful that Dropbox didn't even wait a month to sweep in and acquire the company within weeks of its launch. Today, just over 3 months later, the company is releasing an iPad version of its app, but the Mailbox furor has all but died out. The email app bubble is still bubbling, evidenced by the launch of several apps like MailPilot and EvoMail, but these apps face increasing competition from Google itself, which powers the actual email service most of these apps rely on. After years of relative stagnation on the web and no mobile app, Gmail's been picking up the pace and rapidly adding features like the ability to send money to a friend and RSV to events. It's also been stepping up its game in the design department, a stronghold for apps like Mailbox. Meanwhile, in the productivity category of the App Store, Gmail for iOS is the number one ranked free app, while Mailbox is ranked number 53. Instead of breaking into a wholly untapped market on Android, where its focus on design and speed would be well-received, Mailbox chose to build on an iPad app. Do you think that's enough to keep the ball rolling?
No.
Yes, I do. I agree. Mailbox app is great. I think you should get it. It's really nice and keeps your mail inbox to zero.
Which one is that?
Mailbox. You should get it.
You love that?
Yeah, I like it, yes. It's very nice. Jacob, why don't you like it?
I like it. It's just...
You just said no.
I was answering something else.
Okay, Steve, what's your view on that?
Yeah, actually, I had a question for Jody. Now,
Go ahead.
So I don't know much about this app. I use other ones, the built-in ones.
Hmm.
But this Mailbox, suppose you said it got really popular, that a company bought it, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it seems like it came out like a roller coaster, but then things kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
So, is this an add-on for Gmail? I'm not familiar with it.
No, this is a mail app. This is a whole mail app for iPhone and iPad. It's a good Mailbox. It's $1.99 on the App Store. You got to pay for it.
Oh, it's... Yeah. But you feed your Gmail whatever other email service
Gmail.
Into it, right?
Yeah. It's only Gmail at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and they're telling it as being the absolute fastest email experience on iPhone and iPad. So...
Yeah, you should try it, Jody, and let us know next week.
Powered by Dropbox. Yeah, I mean, I haven't used it. I'm just using the iOS interface, and I've got probably, you know, I mean, my email, I think somebody was laughing at me the other day. I have it coming in, streaming into my computer, and I think I have 110,888 unread emails right now. So,
that's unbelievable. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of an email power user, I guess.
That's good.
Holy cannoli.
So Jacob, do you like the Mailbox app at all or not? What do you like about it?
Well, it's easy, but I have a couple on my iPad.
Yeah, what do you have?
That one and the one that was built in.
Okay. All right. Jay, any other news?
Oh, my gosh. I know this one is one that you guys were excited about, about Xbox One. And apparently it's the next generation console, and as such, it's built with some future-proofing in mind. It can do things you're not quite ready for just yet, such as play back 4K resolution games, movies, and TV. And it'll support 3D visuals, too, despite the fact that 3D in the home is yet to catch up in any meaningful way when it comes to TV, movies, or games. Microsoft noted that the new console would support 4K at the Xbox One launch event on Monday, but 3D support was kept under wraps until the Xbox spokesman Larry Major Nelson Herb mentioned in a Wednesday Yahoo chat session that the Xbox predecessor, the Xbox 360, supported up to 1080p video output, considered full HD. But almost no Xbox 360 games were offered in true 1080p graphics. So most games support only 1020 resolution that could be upscaled to 1080. Anyway, it's got some interesting things going for it. However, you know, even with all of these capabilities, I guess the real question is, will the games and video that support 4K and 3D, or at least integrate it, will they be coming out in on the market? And if without it, does it really make a difference? Is this really such a revolutionary new game system?
Well, it's not backwardly compatible with the 360, right, with the original Xbox?
No, it's not. It's not.
So it's useless for all your
games that you have now. Yes, and that's what I'm annoyed about. You know, you go and buy this new console and you can't play the other games you have now. You know, just annoying, stupid. Jacob, what's your view on that?
It sucks.
Well,
how do you really feel?
Well, come on. You can't say it sucks, mate. You haven't used it yet. You know, you probably say it sucks because you can't probably buy it. Is that right?
You can't say that on air anyway.
We're gonna have to What did you say? What did you say, Jake? what was that you said?
Oh, he said he shouldn't say that on the air.
No, he shouldn't say that on the air. Don't know. He shouldn't say that.
No, it does stink a little bit because it's a big hulking box.
Yeah, I do agree about that. It looks like an old VCR box and old TiVo, but that's probably why I won't get it. It's too big and looks too chunky and stuff. But
maybe
Maybe you have to see it in person to see what it's really like. But the price is $888, apparently.
Whoa,
Jacob.
Yeah, good thing it's not.
It'll be big here in Austin because
I'm sure it will be.
4K. We're gonna be streaming 4K over Google Fiber here in Austin, so it'll probably be a big hit around here.
Definitely. Now with 4K, you need a proper TV for 4K, don't you? Like a proper 4K TV.
You need at least like 70 or 80 inch TV.
Yeah, definitely. Steve, what's your view on the new Xbox?
Well, going with the article, I kind of told you. Well, I covered during my show, but with some of the standards, notably 3D and 4K. Now, 3D never really hit big in anything like televisions. CES been pushing it every year for quite a while. Camcorders 3D, but the consumer didn't really seem to want it. Now, 4K, I think, is going to be a different story. I think BBC might be broadcasting in 4K. There's several out there. The only thing I know, well, of course, what Brad said about needing 4K televisions.
Yep.
I'm kind of wondering if the HDMI standard is going to be enough to broadcast it to the television. I don't know if it's like it's HDMI 1.5 right now or... Yeah, if it can do that much bandwidth.
I think it's depending on what TV you have and you need a 4K that supports it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but yeah, I think that's probably what you have to do. So, Steve, will you be getting...
Does it use a new kind of cable or something to go between the Xbox One and the 4K TV?
HDMI, you use a HDMI cable.
HDMI.
So, Steve...
You use the same cables.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need a proper TV to support it. But you can still use it, though, on a normal HD TV. But
yeah, from what I understand, that if you have like a 55-inch or 60-inch TV, it doesn't make any difference.
It's not that big
of a difference. You have to go to some 80-inch TV to really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Steve, will you be buying one?
No, me?
Yeah.
Most of the games I get are computer games. I do get an HD TV, but like I said, I couldn't do 4K or 3D. But it's most of the things you need to get full use out of it. You'd have to get an Xbox Live account. That's a $60 extra. I don't know. To me, that's one thing I never understood: is you're already paying for internet, then you got to pay Xbox Live on top of that just to get the extra functionality and.
But some of the services on Xbox are pretty cool, though.
Have you seen them? I mean, but...
Joe, do you play... Go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry. I actually prefer doing it. I've got a Mac Mini because it gives you a few more options because I run everything through XBMC for a lot of my services. And there's probably other things out there, too.
Definitely.
Like Plex and...
For sure. Jody, what's
how does the Kinect work on that box? How do they have the Kinect set up?
I think it comes with the Kinect. I think you just hook it up in the back of it, I think, or something.
Oh, it's going to be the same kind of thing where it's separate?
Yeah, I think it is. Joni, what's your view on the new Xbox? Will you be getting one?
Not immediately. I'm not, you know, I don't play the games that much. I just don't have time for it. So I think I've got a game system around here somewhere. I don't know.
All right. Cool. Okay. Any other news?
One more interesting story. Cross-platform messaging app, IMO.im, it's IMO.im, raises $13 million, and they want you to meet new people by broadcasting yourself. So, you know, the concept of broadcasting yourself is not new. You know, we saw things like Chat Roulette, and, you know, there's, you know, obviously a bunch of different services. But what's kind of interesting about this is that they have a new take, supposedly, on social networking. They've raised the money, and the funding was led by co-founder George Harrick, who also happened to be one of Google's first 10 employees. So, you know, obviously they had a good idea then. This is supposed to be the 21st century. The new social network is all about finding new people you haven't been introduced to and annoying them with your stupid status updates and teenage and pregnant baby pictures. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's based on meeting new people. Users will be able to try to get to know one another with the addition of a thing called broadcasts. With a broadcast feed, users will be given a channel to easily discover new people, information, and topics based on their own interests. And since IMO.im will learn about those interests in the least creepy way possible, it's going to be able to suggest people to you without you even having to make an explicit ask about things you have in common. So they're supposed, the thing that makes it a little bit different is supposed to be able to take and share your information, share photos in the feed, and that's going to be broadcast to other users. Okay, so question, cool or creepy?
I haven't used it, but Jacob has though. Jacob, what's your view on this? You've used it?
Yeah, but I don't use that broadcast. I have it shut off.
Oh, you do? Okay, all right.
So that's creepy then, huh, if you have it shut off?
No, it's not creepy.
It's not like Chat Roulette, is it?
No.
That's creepy.
I personally think there's just too many messaging up at the moment. I just use Message Me and iMessage at the moment.
So how's it different from Google Plus Hangouts?
Oh, yeah. Have you used that, Paul, yet, that Hangouts app?
Yeah, I mean, how's this different from that?
It's totally different to that. But you can, I don't know why I haven't used that other one that JD mentioned, but Hangouts app is just needs to be fixed, I think.
Yeah, the Hangouts app is, I agree with you about the Hangouts app because I got real excited that they created an iOS interface for Hangouts, but it's so annoying. Remember when we were texting you in the middle of the night?
Yes.
The Hangouts just never go away. They're always there.
Yep.
I think Craig Shipp was the first one to have brought that to our attention.
Yeah, we'll blame him.
yeah, it's Craig Shipp's fault.
Blame him. Jacob, what's your view on that?
I had to keep leaving the messages.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
That's funny.
But you like it, Paul, do you? You like the app?
I haven't tried it. What's it called? IMO what?
No, the Hangouts app. Do you like the Hangouts app?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I like the Hangouts app. It's a little it takes a little getting used to, but I'll get used to it.
All right. Steve, have you used it yet, mate?
The new Hangout, is that what you're saying? Yeah. The IMO or whatever.
Yeah, or maybe one of them. Have you used them?
I don't know. Like the Google Plus, they changed their look or feel to it, and I don't understand the Google Plus Hangout now. You can't seem to find very easily the different Hangouts, and I mean you can easily broadcast or hang out yourself, but trying to find other people, it seems to be hard to do. I don't know if I'm doing it wrong or.
How many subscribers do you have on your YouTube channel at the moment, Steve?
Oh, I think it's just like 355, something like that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you can turn up and get the broadcast on YouTube. I have that now, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty good. Have you got it, JD?
Yeah, I just got approved for it. I haven't used it yet.
Okay, cool. When's your podcast coming back, by the way?
Probably we'll be starting it up. I had, you know, a couple of things interfering with it, but I think now that things seem to be smoothed out, we can start it up again.
Sweet. Can't wait.
Yay.
Can't wait. Any other news stories?
No, that's pretty much the news for today.
All right, that's the time to saying it's 1 o'clock. Thank you, clock. Jacob, who do we have on today as a guest? Go ahead.
Paul Terry Wallace.
Welcome to the show, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm mighty fine, lads.
That's the way, mate. Tell us about what you do and what have you been up to the past few months. We spoke to you last.
Well, as I already talked about, we had this little guerrilla commando solar project last week. We found a guy who was living out in a house that he inherited from his dad, but he can't afford electricity or any services or anything like that, so we hooked him up. He just loves it now. And other than that, just getting my project out in Cedar Creek going, you know, this spring lodge with the vintage trailers and the cargo containers, getting that going. We've got some new people coming out there. George Seepy is moving from Chicago down to, he's a big guy on Google Plus. He's going to move into the lodge in about a week. And we had the Rise Week. We had South by Southwest. I mean, Austin seems to be no end to new things happening in Austin, Texas these days. So it's a very exciting time and a great place to live these days.
All right, Jody, any questions?
Well, yeah, I guess I noticed in your bio, Paul, that you mentioned that you were the king of Twitter. What does that mean exactly?
Oh, that's kind of a joke because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a call from BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed called me up and said, "Can we interview you? Because we understand you used to be the king of Twitter." So I said, sure, you know, and they reminded me that there were all these articles back when Twitter got started about me because I had more followers than anyone. It was either me and Leo Laporte and Kevin Rose and a couple other people had a bunch of followers because it was the very early days of Twitter. And so I got written up in the New York Times and a whole bunch in Slate Magazine and Wired and a whole bunch of other publications as, you know, because I had all these followers. And so they did a follow-up story on me. So it's kind of I just kind of played along with it. And this is kind of a joke. I put that in my profile.
It's funny.
Yeah. What else? How was South by Southwest, Paul? How was it?
Oh, it was off the charts. I mean, it was bigger than ever. It was by several orders of magnitude. There were an incredible number of parties and events and just an amazing event. It just something you couldn't do. And one thing I did there was I went to the trade show where they had about 300 booths. So I did 300 interviews with all the trade show booths. So I'm going to be releasing that over the next year, an interview with everybody who had something at the trade show booth. So that was my little exercise. So I'll be releasing that on YouTube and Google Plus and Facebook, etc. You know, iTunes.
Cool. All right, Jacob, any questions for Paul?
Nothing really, but I just want to ask to let everybody know what SpringNet is.
Well, spring.net is my main destination. That's been around for a really long time. It used to be spring.com, but I sold that, and then I happened to have spring.net happened to be available, so it's kind of like my it's become a kind of an aggregator now for the stuff I post on Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter. It's kind of all rolls into there. I use something, an interface in WordPress that takes all these feeds and puts them onto its WordPress blog I use for spring.net. Speaking of WordPress, it's the 10th anniversary next week in a few days at the Capital Factory downtown. We're going to have a big party to celebrate the 10th year of WordPress. And that's going to be a big deal here in Austin in about just a few days coming up.
Nice one. All right. Steve, any questions?
Well, actually, I don't know if I was going to ask him if he knew Ron Knight. Supposedly, he's the king of YouTube. figure I'd throw that joke in there.
He is? Really? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. Well, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not the king of Twitter anymore. They just said I was the original king of Twitter.
Oh, yeah. But, it's very possible in the early days, yeah.
Mm.
No, I don't know Ron.
Yeah. You don't know who Ron Knight is, okay. Steve, go ahead. Any more questions?
Oh, let me see here. You said you're a videotographer. What kind of stuff do you do as a videotographer?
Well, mostly I do it for fun, and mostly I do interviews at South by Southwest. So this year I did about 300 interviews at South by at the trade show. So I'll be rolling those out over next year. I get enough material in 1 week at South by to last for about a year. And then I'll do other little tech events in Austin and things that pop up. I did a few videos last week at Rise, at the Rise event, you know, where all the entrepreneurs get together from all around town, the startups and entrepreneurs.
What was your favorite startup day you've seen, Paul, so at the Rise event?
Well, the most interesting startup to me is the Capital Factory itself, because this place is just churning out in incredible amount of new startups. It's like a startup incubator and a co-working center and everything all rolled into one. And it's got a lot of attention, and it's generating a lot of new startup companies. And they sponsor a lot of events. You can for $150 a month, you can have a desk there, and
wow.
It's really worth it because you get to rub up against all these other startups there. There's a WordPress startup there. They just host WordPress sites, and there's a whole bunch of other interesting startups around town these days.
Actually, I just thought of a question to ask him. Now that he's talking about startups in Austin, I mean, how did why is there such a big boom on startups in Austin? Is there some central thing that caused all these startups to pop up in that area?
Well,
or?
See, Austin was a hotbed for some pretty major companies like Trilogy and IBM and Semitech and a whole bunch of tech companies. And then what happened is the Trilogy, which is a really large company, broke up. They disbanded, and then all these people that worked at Trilogy didn't leave town, and they had the tech skills and knowledge, so all these other smaller startups started popping up, you know, from ex-Trilogy people. And there's a lot of companies like that that have, you know, IBM's had a big presence in this town, and Motorola, and a lot of other big companies have generated this whole tech population. So the tech there with the advent of the Google Fiber, this tech explosion is only going to get exponentially bigger and go off the charts, I think, in the next year. And they can't build skyscrapers fast enough in this town. I mean, you look downtown, and there's all these cranes and booms and skyscrapers going up. It's just unbelievable, the tech explosion that's happening.
The next Silicon Valley, almost.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to surpass Silicon Valley at some point.
Before I ask Paul, what's your view on Google Glass, mate?
Well, I didn't get it because it's $1,500.
Okay.
I didn't even apply because I think it's too early.
Yeah, too early.
And it's too expensive, but it's got some great possibilities, you know, for an interface.
Mm.
You know, I'll get it when it gets down to around $200 to $400, like you know, with the cost of a pair of prescription glasses, it would be worth getting, I think. Yeah. You know, a year or two, probably be there, don't you think?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, I agree. Also, Flickr got a new update too. What's your view on the new Flickr, JD? Have you seen that?
I know that it got a new update. I haven't played with it yet, but I intend to. So, apparently, have you?
Yeah, I have. I love it. It's a great new design. But you get more storage now, and the pro accounts have gone away. You can't get a pro account anymore. That's and that sort of thing. So, yeah, once you get a pro account.
But I do know, Brad, that they recently had a lot of outages over the last few days.
Yes, they did have one yesterday, actually.
Yeah, not all the accounts. So they did that major revamp, and then evidently some people still haven't been able to get into their accounts. Some users haven't had any problems, and then there's others who haven't been able to access the site at all.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What's the site again?
Flickr.
Yeah, Flickr. Oh, yeah, Flickr.
Yeah, Flickr.
Well, supposedly they're giving everybody like 1 terabyte of storage space. Yeah. I don't know if everybody just jumped on it at the same time and caused the outage or something.
Don't know. But people love it.
They have something like 89 million users, and they think that the flood of all the high-res photos coming in is probably what took the servers down.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, speaking of photography, there's a real interesting phenomenon out of Austin called Drink and Click. Have you all heard about that?
No.
No, but that's...
Well, they've got it all over now. It's in Melbourne, it's in London, it's... Wow. There's like chapters all over the world.
That's in Melbourne?
And they get together at like a bar, and they drink and take pictures and talk about photography and do little photo walks around town, but it's spreading quite rapidly around the world. It's a little thing that a guy named Juan Gonzalez here in Austin started. It's really caught on. You know, Lotus Carroll and Trey Ratcliffe, they're two big time photographers on Google+. They're part of that.
Okay.
But Juan is the guy that started it, so yeah, they have a couple chapters over there in Australia already.
Good stuff. Jacob, what's your view on that? Would you ever go on a photo walk, anything like that? Or would you actually walk anywhere, or?
No, I wouldn't walk anywhere. There's nowhere to walk.
God's sake, dude. You went for a walk at Craig Ship when you was down there, mate.
Like a 2-minute walk.
Of course there's photos. You can take photos around where you live.
He's probably afraid to walk around down there because of the crocodiles and alligators.
Hey.
But he lives on lives near bush and stuff. He can actually go for a walk in there and stuff and take photos and that.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great event. You if you go on Google+, just type in Drink and Click, you'll see all the chapters, and some great photos are coming out of that thing there.
Definitely.
You talking about Flickr reminded me of that.
Yeah.
It does sound scary, though.
Yeah. Joe, do you ever go on any of them, on them sort of things?
No, I've not done a Drink and Click. I do like to take pictures. I have a really nice Canon digital single lens reflex camera that I like to play with. But you know, it's funny. Recently, I saw a really good commercial for the iPhone, and it said that it's one of the most popular cameras ever. And it's interesting how
more pictures are taken with that than anything else.
Isn't that crazy? And I know I always have my iPhone with me, so it's easy. And you can do videos and pictures, and you know, it's just funny. But
one of the big trends is away from the big bodied SLRs, and now they have the mirrorless smaller cameras that are equivalent to the big bodied ones, and you're seeing a lot of the pro photographers that show up at these Drink and Click events and other photography events are now showing up with these smaller cameras. They're getting rid of the big bodied cameras for cameras that are 5 times smaller.
I believe it. They're awkward to carry around, but I still think the pictures I get out of my single lens reflex are far superior than what I get out of my iPhone. So, you know,
absolutely, yeah. I'm just saying that the smaller cameras are kind of bridging the gap between the iPhone and the big bodied SLR, there's this sweet spot now in the new Olympus and the new Canon and the new Sony, like the Sony NX7 it's called it. You can get it for about $1,000, and it's pretty close to the quality and the capability of the big, like I have a Canon 7D. I'm thinking of dumping in it on eBay and getting a Sony NX7, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
good for you.
Yeah, good on you, Paul. Steve, do you take photos?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's more video, but I do take photos occasionally. Now that you mentioned, you know, the click, what was that, the drink and click or something like that? They have this neat thing. You can actually, down in Corpus Christi, you can download this podcast, and it's like a little small tour. And as you're playing it, you go to, you know, the different points, and then once you're there, you click on the this podcast. You can listen to it, and it describes historical site or whatever. And I think it's like got 13 different areas, and it takes, I think, like 20 to 40 minutes or something, which I thought it was pretty cool. And you can download it to your cell phone and play that. I think they also got some paper, you know, stuff you can print out as well if you want to do that too.
Yeah, they also have a new thing on Google Plus that Trey Ratcliffe's doing called the Virtual Photo Walk, and that's where you can participate on a Google Hangout and interact with the people on the street while they're taking photographs and kind of see what they're doing. By the way, Trey is no longer an Austin homeboy. He moved to over to your neck of the woods, Brad. I think he moved to New Zealand now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Interesting.
Virtual photo walks. I haven't done one yet. I've just heard about it.
Well, New Zealand actually is not actually in Australia. Well, it's close to Australia anyway.
But yeah, I know. It's close. Yeah. Yeah, nearby. It's
cool. That's good. Good on him. Hope he enjoys New Zealand. That's good.
Actually, what?
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, what Paul's talking about, I think Google does that too. It's kind of like a virtual tours, I think they call it, and you can actually get different locations, historical sites, and you can actually click on it, and it's like, it's photographed all the way around, and it's something very much like that. Right. I know Google's been doing it. Now they're actually doing like the barrier reefs and sunken ships and stuff like that.
Definitely. All right. Paul, let's wrap it up. Want to mention anything before we go, mate? Do you want anything we missed out? We need to wrap up the show.
go for it, Brad.
What's
good
your
show.
Final thought, mate? Do you want to say mention Twitter and stuff? Where can they contact you and stuff?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
SpringNet is my identity pretty much everywhere. It's either SpringNet or Spring.net, like on iTunes, you can find me as SpringNet. On Blip TV, you can find me as Spring.net. On Google Plus, you can find me at gplus.to/SpringNet.
All right. And if I just put a link to your Google Plus, it's all there. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's all there, yeah.
All right, good stuff. Jody, final thoughts, and where can I get you on Twitter?
Final thoughts are, I wish I had final thoughts.
But you don't have any? I don't have any either. I just wanted to ask anyway.
It's too early for final. but you can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, SunSwept, and most everywhere else as either webmarcom, my website is webmarcom.net, or Jody Rains.
And you can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz on the Tech Webcast. Jacob, any thoughts you want to say before we go, or anything like that? Twitter on that?
Well, we had a good show, and you can follow me at jazzbot326691z.
What's a good show? Mention the show. You didn't mention the name of it. You always do that.
Tech Luster.
There you go.
Part of the Hangout 10 network.
And yes, indeed. This week we were talking to Alan Furstenberg. He actually got good Google Glasses. Jacob.
Oh, yeah. I want to see it through, see what he says.
Yeah. Steve.
My final thoughts is hopefully Google's going to put some Google Fiber here in Corpus Christi. Besides that, you can find me on Twitter on chatterbox_live and on Justin TV / Linus Cool Dude.
Good stuff. That's it. That's it. That's a wrap. That's episode 240. Come, we can't believe that we're here. 240 episodes.
Wow.
A lot of episodes, isn't it?
It's awesome.
A lot of episodes.
It is a lot of episodes. Yeah, go ahead, Jacob. What were you going to say?
I said, damn. That's okay. A good stuff.
It is indeed. All right. Thanks, guys, for being on. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jody, Steve, Jacob, and Paul. Mm-hmm. Jody, you're a legend.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad. Appreciate it.
No problem, mate. Come back anytime.
Good to talk to y'all.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thanks. Thanks, Jacob. You lost the game.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech.
Tech Heads, if it plays.
Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!